Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, yes, welcome back, everybody, once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 32 for January the 28th, 2014. I'm your host, Jack. And if you get a chance, check out our website at tipsfromtheserverroom.com, where you can comment on all these shows, and I hope you do. Or you can leave me a voice message if you have any questions, concerns, or topics, or something about the topic I'm talking about this evening. I would really appreciate that. You can call that in at 724-701-0550. If you have any questions or ideas for future shows, please email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, and that is at Technoman. Sign up for future newsletters, which we're not sure what that newsletter is going to be yet, but you can sign up for those anyway at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Folks, if you're listening to this on iTunes, and I hope you are downloading and subscribing from iTunes, you can definitely leave some comments there also. I would really gladly appreciate you to do that. And if you'd like to chat, we are in Spreaker. We are broadcasting live on Spreaker, which is a online radio show. And you can download Spreaker and put that on your smartphone so you can listen to me live wherever you may be. And that's always a good thing. Then that way you can chat to the show and you can talk about different topics and ask questions. We love to have those live on these shows. It's always a good time. I know we didn't have a show last week, and I received a bunch of emails. Thank you so much for the kind emails asking if I was okay and if everything was going okay with the show. The show will go on. Last week, I was incredibly sick. You couldn't believe how sick I was. Somehow, I caught the flu bug, and it happened. I was recording some stuff earlier Tuesday afternoon and working on some new online classes I'm working on, and I got incredibly sick. I mean, to the point where my stomach was, gurgling and, what a mess. So at that point, I decided that maybe I better go lay down on the couch and take a little snooze. This was in the afternoon. I went down, took a little snooze on the couch, woke up, and I was just like death worn over. It was incredible. I was down for 3 days. 3 entire days I was down and out and just unbelievable how that flu bug is hitting. If you get it, I would have to tell you to drink a lot of liquids and get a lot of rest. I think I slept for almost 2 days, if you can believe that. 2 days. For as busy as I am doing all these podcasts, all these shows, and working on the computer systems at work and running a network, it was just really tough to be down like that. I'm not usually down and out, but I was down and out for the count. So today, my friends, we're going to be talking about some basic programming and some scripting skills that you should possess if you are running a network. Or if you're running servers, this is really good stuff to understand and at least get some kind of a grasp on. I mean, you don't have to be a top-notch programmer by any means. But I'm going to give you some of my basic understandings of it and what I've been doing over the years and how it's helped me to run my servers. Also, we're going to be talking about using DS mod commands, and we're going to talk about where they came from, pretty much when they originated, and then I'll tell you what you can do with DS mod commands. It's an incredibly powerful tool, and I don't believe a lot of people out there are using it. So let's first talk a little bit about programming and scripting. Now, many of you know on my website, I do have a link at the top of the website. I'm just going to double check it now as I'm talking to you here, so I make sure I know what the link says. And that link says scripts. If you go into scripts, there is some basic scripts that I actually created. And these scripts, you are free to download. You just go to my website, tipsfromtheserveroom.com, and you'll see them, and you can download these scripts. Now, I do need to update this and write a few more in here, but the first one is map you text. What we use that for is we use that script, and we put that into our Windows system vol, and then you go under domain and find your domain, and you will load your scripts in there. Then when you set up somebody on Active Directory, it's very easy. We just type in mapu. Actually, it's a bat file, so you have to rename it. But it's mapu.bat. And what it does, it just simply makes sure that the user's home directory, or U drive, whichever the case is mapped to their computer, to their local workstation. We also have another one in there called scan folders. Now, folks, if you have a network the size of ours, as I've said in the past, we have about 700 PCs running. We have about 1,160 students on our network in any given day. They tend to like to download stuff. Even our staff at times want to download things to their computers or to their U drives, thinking, well, the tech guys won't find it. And really, do you have time to sit and look through 1,100 and some folders to see what's in those? Of course you don't have time for that. So what we did was we sat down and we decided to get a script and write it. It's called scan folders. What the script does is you tell it where your shared folder is, and it will go to each individual subfolder underneath of your main share, and it will scan that directory. When it scans the directory, what it's going to do there is take out everything that you tell it you don't want in there. So all you got to do is put the extensions in. It's a very easy script. The best way to learn how to write scripting or write any code is to look at somebody else's code. This is the way I've been doing it for years, and this is a great way for you to get the abilities to actually learn to write scripts. So you put your extensions in there, the extensions that you want to make sure that the people are not allowed to have. As it finds those files in there, it moves them. It deletes it from their folder, and it moves it to a storage folder. Now, you don't have to do that, but the reason we tend to do that is just in case, let's say somebody downloads or somebody's working on an audio file for a presentation, and they need that particular audio file. Well, we don't want them to have audio files in their folders. So what we do is we move that file. We also remove batch files. We remove exe files. Anything that we feel that they don't need. The only thing I really leave in that folder is DOC and DOCX for document files, XLS for Excel files, or XLSX for the new breed of Excel, and the PowerPoint presentation files. We leave those in that folder. We tell people any of your working documents can be in that shared folder, but anything else should be moved. You should keep it on your thumb drive or keep it somewhere other than my server. The biggest reason for that is, honestly, is because we run what's called the Barracuda Backup Server. Now, the Barracuda Backup is a great backup solution, but they charge you per gigabyte. So we have 100 gigabytes per month, and we don't want to really go over that cap. Now, you can buy more if you're saying, Jack, that's wonderful, but I have a lot more than 100 gigabytes, and you may in fact do. I mean, even at home, I have more than 100 gigabytes. I back up 500 gigabytes at home because of all the video casts I do and everything like that, and all these podcasts, all the MP3 files I have. I tend to want to back all that up. So scan folders is a great solution, and it also creates a report, and you can just look at that report and see who has what and who's been sticking what in their file folders. If you're in a school, it's really great because as the kids are downloading stuff, such as Tank Commander, that's one of the ones they like to download, and there's some other things they download, those actual EXEs, or staff downloading things like screensaver EXEs or whatever, we do not want those on our network. So those have to be moved and the report is written. At that point, we actually can go to that user and say, what were you thinking about? What were you doing to be having those, downloading these files. You know you're not supposed to have this stuff. The next script that we have in this scripts downloads is shutdown.vbs. Now, a VBS file is Visual Basic Scripting Language. You may be familiar with that, or you may not be familiar with it. But all of these are written in VBS. But what Shutdown allows you to do, it allows you to set up a command in there to actually shut the computers down at a certain time. We put this script in their actual, scheduled task event. And when you put it in their scheduled task event on the local workstation, at the time given, it will fire. It fires the shutdown script. And at that point, it will shut the computer down. How many times have you walked into your offices or whatever and found the computers on? Why does it seem like people want to do that? And we as tech people have to do that because we need remote access to our workstation. And that's okay. I understand that. But why do people tend to always want to leave their computers on the night? And you know the case. You know why that is. And the reason that is because they don't want to wait for them to boot up in the morning. That's why they do it. It's a time-saving thing for them, and I understand that. But we have to look at the cost savings to your company and the cost savings to your school district or wherever you may be working, and that electricity running is just astronomical, especially if these things run all weekend. That's where we were seeing it. Worse yet, in the summertime, when our teachers would leave for the summer, they'd be gone for 3 months. We'd be working on computer systems, and we'd walk into a lab. All the computers would be on. So this allows us to ensure that those computers are actually off. We don't have to worry about those anymore. And the last one here is it's scenic.zip, scenic.zip. The reason I put this in there is we don't want VBS files on our workstation so the kids can read them, because kids are pretty smart nowadays, and you may have some staff members that are really smart where they can go in there and read a text file. VBS is basically a scripting language, and it's just a plain text scripting language. So with that said, actually what happens is they can read that scripting language. What this last one allows you to do, it takes the VBS file and it converts it into an unreadable VBE file. That's Visual Basic Executable File. So a VBE file, if you open it up and look at it in text editor, it's all hexed, it's all text, and you can't tell what is in it. So it's really, really nice to be able to do that. I also put the help files in there to tell you how to do it. It's very easy to convert them. It's a command line conversion, and it takes about a second to convert it, and you will be good to go. So next, I promised you we will talk a little bit about DSMod commands and what they're used for. So to do this, I'm going to go back first, and we're going to talk a little bit more about programming. I told you we talk a little bit about programming tonight. And what that means by programming. If you're not a programmer, that's okay. You can still run your network very efficiently, and I'm sure you do. I'm sure you've been running your servers very efficiently. But programming allows us to extend our usability beyond belief. Now, I started programming with Visual Basic, and Visual Basic probably back with version 3 maybe or 4, very early on, years ago. And I was able to pick it up pretty rapidly. And folks, once you learn one programming language, you can start to do any programming. You can understand any code. But this is the key to programming, especially if you're not trained. If you didn't go to school and you actually know all the languages, or you're really sufficient or efficient at your language, then you're going to have to take the time and learn. All right? Learning something new is not a bad thing. And I don't care how old you are. If you're that, such as me, 50, if you're 60 years old and you're still a technologist out there, well, bless you. I'm glad you're still hanging in there with us. Maybe you're 70. You can still learn something new. The mind will absorb knowledge. That's what it does. That's what it's created for. right? It's the largest hard drive known to man, and it's the most unknown, the way it works, hard drive known to man. So this will apply to just about everybody out there. Start looking at people's code. Now, you can find different code projects. If you just type in, let's say, PHP coding projects, you will find a lot of open source projects out there that you can download. Run the code, and you can see what it does, and then go back and read the code to see how it does it. That is how you start learning. That's how I learned how to code. We would sit for hours and read other people's code and write our own and start putting our own processes on it, our own loops, our own controls. And we would do things with that code that the people weren't even expecting it to do. Now I program in Visual Studio, and the latest version, I believe, is Visual Studio 2013 that's out. But you can also download for free Visual Basic or Visual Studio Express. So Visual Studio Express 2013, you can download that for absolutely free. You get the IDE. You can create EXE files with it. Now, it does take some of the bigger major parts away that you would use in business. But for what we do, it's really sufficient. It works really well. Once again, that's Visual Studio Express. Just search for it. You'll find it. Download it and start playing with it. So what I did at our place is, at our school, is I created a little application because every year we have new students coming in, right? We have a new kindergarten class coming in of about, let's say, 90 to 100 kids, and I don't want to hand edit all those people into my Active Directory. I thought, you know, this is not the way to do things. We have to automate this whole process. So what we did was, to automate the process, was we started using dsmod commands. And these allow us to automate everything to add users to our network. So what I did was I took my Visual Basic skills and I wrote a little program because we have a database of the kids. So what I did, I created a little export. And what I'm exporting there is the username for the kid, whatever we're using for username. Their first and last name is all I need. Once I have that, I just take that CSV file, I put that right into my application, and I hit process. And when I do, I have that actually create a dsmod or dsadd command. Now, what that allows it to do is when we run these things, it builds a batch file for us. And that batch file, I just run it off of the root directory of my domain controller. And as long as I run it as an administrator, now wait, what did Jack just say? You have to run it as an administrator. So when you get the run as command, you don't really want that. What you want to do is you want to right-click on the command prompt. Okay, so in the startup menu, right-click on the command prompt and run it as administrator. Then I'll just simply type this batch name in there. We usually call it add user.bat for batch, and it just starts pumping them users in. And now, folks, what used to take us almost 2 days to hand type all these users in, we can actually put all this information in Active Directory in about under 3 minutes. 2 to 3 minutes, and they're in there and they're ready to go. Now, once they're in there, we found one time that I put all the users in when I first wrote this program. So I put K through 12, so 13 years worth of students, times, you figure, roughly 100 students per class in our district. So you're talking 1,300 students going into the Active Directory. Now, come the end of the year, we have to remove all the seniors because the seniors are going to graduate and they're going to leave the school district. Well, we can do that by hand, and it wasn't too great to do that by hand. But what we also found out, we had no way to know who was graduating except to go through the list one at a time. So then I looked at my program again. I thought, I can fix this. So I created a dsmod command. And with the dsmod command, in the description field, so it's dsmod space user space, And then if you put a dash, I lost my train of thought there for a second. If you put a dash description or DESC space, and then I would pull their year graduation from our student database, and then I DSmodded all of their graduation years into Active Directory. Now what we can do is filter the Active Directory based on the student's year of graduation. It made it so much cleaner, and it's unbelievably fast now because we just highlight the first one, the last one, right click, delete, and they're gone. We take them out of Active Directory. Now there's a lot of stuff you could do with the DSmod command. And if you're not good at programming, another great way to do this is, let's say you want to change, let me pick out a couple of things here that we're going to change. Let's just say we're going to reset everybody's password on your Active Directory. If you wanted to do that, you can simply take an Excel document and just type in there. The first column would be DSmod. The second column would be user. The third column would be your user DN or some kind of an identifier for that user's login. And the third column, you would put dash, and it would be their password. So it would just be simply dash PWD, and then a space, and then you could put a default password. Now, to make your batch file, it's so easy. All you got to do is do a file, save as, and save it out as a DOS-based CSV file. What it's going to do then, it's going to bring the commands out. It's going to be exactly the way you want it. All you got to do then is rename the CSV file to a .bat, put down your domain controller, execute it, and you can do essentially the same thing I was doing with my program, but you did it with Excel. And the only thing is Excel will not make it, you know, as much hands-off as what my program does, because my program writes a lot of that stuff for me. Because you would need one column for every user the way you're going to do it, where mine just goes in and just populates everything for me. But it will work. Many companies out there also don't have email addresses, and maybe years ago they didn't put them in their Active Directory. Who knows what happened? Or maybe you just didn't want to do that. So you can do a DSmod space user space, and then put their user ID in there once again, space, and then just do dash email space, and then their email address. But folks, here's the beauty of this whole thing with DSmods is you can stack these things. So let's say in my instance, when I was putting the users in, I put the username in, I put a default password in for them. I put that they must change their password. I think that's very critical. So they must actually change their password. I actually put in their home directory, their home drive. We put their location in. We do that. Where it says password never expires, we put in yes, because the password does expire. You put yes in because the password does expire. And no if the user's passwords do. Yeah, you put no in. I'm sorry. So password never expires. I'd put no because we want those to expire. And you could run these all together. That is what's really nice about this stuff. You can stack them out, create one big batch file, throw those against your Active Directory server, and then run that batch file, and it's going to update all that information for you on the fly. It's so incredibly, incredibly simple that you will not believe it. Now, I will put this link tonight. I'm going to put this link in the show notes with this show, so you can actually see it. It's a TechNet document here about Windows Server, about DSmod commands, and we'll put this in the show notes for you to look at, so you can get a little bit better. You can also do DSmods for the computer. We can do DSmods on contact. We can do a DSmod on a group in the Active Directory. a DSMOD in the OU, so you can work in the organizational units. The DSMOD on the server, you can modify properties of a domain controller by using some DSMOD commands on your server. A DSMOD command on quotas. And I think we'll be discussing quotas in some future show here coming up, just to kind of understand quotas a little bit more and dig around a little bit with those. And DSMOD partition, where you can actually work with your actual partitions. Now, this will work in either Windows 8, which probably a lot of you are not running Windows 8 out there, and I hope you're not. Windows Server 2003, Windows Server 2003 R2, Windows Server 2003 with Service Pack 1, Windows Server 2008, and yes, Windows Server 2012, if you happen to be running that out there yet. And you know, I've been thinking recently, and I've been telling my partner at work, we're going to be setting up a Windows Server 2012. Now, you know, I teach Windows Server 2012 on my online courses, but we don't have one running in our network right now. And there's no real reason for that other than maybe we just haven't had the need to set a new server up. I would suggest if you're going to set a new server up, then you're going to need to set that new server up. And I would set that server up with Windows Server 2012 is what I would do. I think that's huge, and I think it's the right thing to do. Even though we may not, you know, as technologists really think much about that, really want to do anything with Windows Server 2012, we have to stay on the cutting edge of technology. If you're one of those technologists out there and you're sitting back going, well, my Windows Server 2003, they're running great. They've been humming along all these years. Why touch them? Well, I probably hear out of your voice a technologist that's going to be retiring soon, is what I'm thinking. So, you know, and you're going to be leaving your mess to somebody else. Now, if you're listening to this show and you're like, Jack, that just upset me, and that, you know, that's terrible for you to say that. I always consider myself to be a realist. I believe a certain way, and I think that's the way you should do it too. If you're listening to this show, then you probably do care about your network. You probably do want to learn more. That's why you're out there searching for podcasts on iTunes saying, hey, here's a guy, tips from the server room. This Jack guy sounds okay. You know, he kind of knows what he's talking about. Then take it from me. Upgrade your servers. Even if you get those servers up to Windows Server 2008, build yourself a new domain controller, move your folks over. Yep, it's a lot of work and it's a pain, but you owe yourself, you owe your network, and you owe everybody that logs onto one of your computers, you owe that to them, okay? That's why we do this. And I always tell my partner, we are support services. No matter what they call us, no matter if they call me a network director, if you're a CIO of your company or whatever you are, we are first and foremost service people. We service our users. Those users, they deserve the very best that we can give them. And if you don't think you can give them the very best and you don't know how to upgrade your servers, then listen to the end of this show, and I'm going to tell you how you can learn more about that whole situation, and you will know how to actually get those servers upgraded and running more smoothly. Like I said, we owe it to our end users, and that is key. Well, folks, anyway, I hope you learned something tonight about programming. If you're not programming, go out there and start looking at some code. It's not hard. If you know computers, chances are you can learn to program. No, and even the program I do, I mean, I'm not going to launch nuclear missiles. I'm not going to be able to write some kind of code that's going to make a sub go to the bottom of the ocean and find some kind of gold or something like that. But I am going to be able to write code to help me in my network, to help me with my daily routines of what I need to do to get things done. And anytime we can save ourselves some time, learning a little bit can go a long, long way. Also, don't forget you can download my free scripts from the website, tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Click on scripts. Those are free for you to download. I don't give any warranty against those or anything. They're there. They're written. We use them all the time, so I know they work. But, you know, at least download them and read them and see how to write code. Learn a little bit about Visual Basic scripting, and you too can serve yourself well. Well, folks, I want to thank you so much for listening to this podcast, tuning in, downloading each week. And I wish more people would email me and say, Jack, either you're doing a good job, you're doing a bad job. I mean, I've heard some, you know. I think as broadcasters and podcasters and vidcasters, every now and then I just want to hear from somebody to say, look, I'm listening. If you just email me, say, Jack, I'm listening, man. Thanks. You know, whatever. Or email me some of your suggestions for future shows or something you want to hear about, something you've been fighting with. Email me questions, you know. Come up with some questions about your servers or something, and let's see if I can put together some kind of, you know, reasonable answer for you to help you along there. And you can send those to jackstechcorner@gmail.com. I'd be so happy to get those in here to read those on the show, and it helps the show to move along a little bit. Also, remember, if you're not on Spreaker, go over to spreaker.com/jackstechcorner. And you'll find the shows there. You can also hear the show if you go to tipsfromtheserveroom.com. I now have a live radio link at the top. You can click on there. And when the show goes live, that player, you'll have to refresh it at about 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that player will go live. And there's a chat box in there where you can chat to me. So it's just a nice way to be able to talk back and forth and to hear from you. You can also send me a tweet anytime. Just send that to @ and it's Technoman, all one word, Technoman. So folks, once again, thank you so much for listening to the show. If you want to learn more about Windows Server 2008 R2, you're not real sure about it, you're still running 2003 and they're humming along, it's time to upgrade. So if you want to learn more about Windows Server 2008 R2 or Windows Server 2012, you want to get on the bus and set up a new server with a new operating system, or VMware ESXi 5.5 server from A to Z, beginning to administration. Please sign up for one of my online courses at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. You can look online at tipsfromtheserveroom.com, and there's an online class link at the top of the page. Click on that. I have received a ton of emails that said, Jack, I would love to take your course, but they're too inexpensive. They must not be any good. Folks, I believe in my lifetime of paying it forward. I want you to learn from me, and I made it as inexpensive as possible so you can get in there and take those courses. I always tell people, I have a full-time job. I'm trying to help others. These courses are very self-paced, and all you do is watch a video. And there's a 3-question quiz. And people have emailed me and said, Jack, I haven't taken a quiz since high school. I can't pass your class. Folks, everybody's taken the class so far. Probably over 200 some students. Everybody has been passing it with ease. And they've been very happy with the course. The coursework, everything has worked. Also, these classes are for lifelong learners. Once you register for this class, I will never delete your name. You will be in there forever. So you can log on whenever you feel like it, go back in, watch the videos once again, get a little refresher and say, oh, I got that. Now I know. You can also email me questions through the courses and I will respond to those and help you along your way. Once you complete this course, you will get a certificate in the mail. I don't do one of those printed out on your printer. You know, it's your paper. No, I send you a really nice certificate. And a lot of people said they used this to put with their resumes. And it helped them get a few jobs. There's been a few guys out there said, Jack, these have actually helped us. And they said because we had this server training that they were hiring us. So that's good. That makes me feel good that I'm actually paying it forward and helping some folks out. Once again, you can sign up for those courses at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Folks, have a great work week, if that is possible. If you're freezing out there, we understand the whole entire nation is under winter freeze. I know it's been in the negative digits every morning here in Pennsylvania, and I hope that it's not really that way where you're at. I hope it's a little warmer. If you're in Hawaii, I hear it's really nice in Hawaii. So anyway, but have a great work week if that's at all possible, and I'll see you back here next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another Tips from the Serve Room. Thank you so much, everybody, and have a great week. Take care. I'll see you then. Bye for now. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.